is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Q Bell at number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730, 103.9 The Ump. Live in the Madison RV studios. Head over to MadisonRV.com today. Check out fifth wheels, travel trailers, toy haulers, and more. You can rent, you can buy, you can finance on site, you can trade in your old vehicle. You can buy new or used at Madison RV Supercenter. Going to Pat Dooley now of Gatorsports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Pat_Dooley. Pat, Gators with a nice win against Auburn over the weekend, and Auburn's biggest obstacle has been size, and they out-rebound Florida by 10, yet the Gators still able to find a chance to win. Seeing that Auburn team in person, what were your impressions?
Well, they're very athletic, as you know, and they, you know, the funny thing is, Florida, that was one of the smaller teams Florida's played in terms of height, because they've been getting killed by teams that have a couple of big guys. But obviously with McLemore done for the year, that hurts Auburn. But they still dominated the boards. They just were more athletic getting to the rebounds. But Florida just made enough plays down the stretch. And, they did not shoot it well from three. First half, obviously, 2 for 8 or 2 for 9, I think they were. And then they came out hitting some, but they missed some at the end. I mean, it was just one of those great college basketball games with an incredible environment and just back and forth at the end. And Florida found a way to win the kind of games they've been losing lately.
Pat Dooley with us. Offensively, what's the identity of this Florida basketball team, in your opinion?
I don't think they have one. Look, they've got to shoot it well, but they've won games where they don't shoot it well. You know, it's funny. This is a weird team because they've all of a sudden the last three games can't shoot free throws, and they've been shooting them great all year. Now all of a sudden, Chris Chios has won for his last 9. Kolachoff started missing free throws. They had the top 3 free throw shooters in the SEC at one point, and now all of a sudden they can't make free throws. Early in the season, nobody could stop them shooting threes. Well, people finally realized they had no inside presence, so let's go out, run them off the three-point line. So Florida's become kind of a driving team, but they're not big at the guard. So if you lay back a big guy, you can usually protect the rim. It's tough for them to score now. And they had been averaging, in those three losses, 61 points a game. But again, Kayvon Allen got a hot hand and kept shooting. That was the main thing. Kayvon is just such a weird kid. He's so quiet and so shy. And they've had to, like, the game before he was 0-for-3. And you can't have that. You're not going to win games when he's going 0-for-3. This game he started out 0-for-5 and ended up 8-for-10. And he's just got to keep shooting like that, because when he gets going, I mean, he's as good a shooter as anybody. He just has to get going. So it's a strange team. But it's also a team that falls into the kind of the new dynamic, which is this quadrant one thing. They've got 8 quadrant one wins. They're 3rd in the nation in number of wins, and which is why I think they may be in the tournament no matter what happens the rest of the way.
Visiting with Pat Dooley of Gatorsports.com, talking Florida basketball. Defensively, and obviously sometimes when you have a team like Auburn and they live and die by the three, they're just going to be hot or not. I mean, that's just kind of the way, what you have to live with. But did you see anything that Florida did differently on the defensive end to be able to cause Auburn into a poor night shooting, especially early on?
Now, you know, more than anything, Cole, it's effort. It's getting back, first of all, not letting them have easy baskets. But then it's being out on your man and understanding that you've got to get out there and you can't let them take wide open threes. In fact, to start the second half, they got a bunch of them, and they knocked them down. And that was a concern. That's how they took a 14-point lead and made it actually Auburn took the lead twice in the game. So, yeah, you've got to have effort, and it's got to be 40 minutes against a team like that. I mean, I have a lot of respect for their players. They play really well and really hard, and I give them credit for that. But, you know, I will say this. I think that Florida got a lift in the shoe from the crowd, which isn't always there. It's always a good place to play. Saturday night was different. And I think, you know, Brandon Zimmerman pointed out on the SEC Network, the difference in Saturday night crowds and Saturday day crowds is remarkable, how much more successful teams are at home. And that was a good example of it, because that place was bouncing off the walls the whole night.
Pat, Florida going to run into what some people would describe maybe the polar opposite in Alabama tonight when you talk about effort and consistency, consistent effort, a team that has been out-rebounded consistently, a team that some people have consistently questioned their effort for the entirety of basketball games. What do you think about this matchup tonight against Avery Johnson's Alabama club?
Well, they consistently beat the crap out of Florida in the second half of the game they played down in Gainesville. So that's what the message has been. Florida scored 17 points in that game in the second half, and it was just the worst showing of the year by far. So, that message is going to be sent home. And look, it feels like Florida is always facing a team this year that really needs a win, that really is – things haven't gone well lately, and they really need to get a W. So, I'm sure that it's going to be the same kind of atmosphere in Tuscaloosa. They're going to have to play well. They're going to have to make shots. They're going to have to stay aggressive offensively. And the problem they had last time, as you remember, was Dante Hall, who was 7-for-7. And I don't think he shot the ball more than an inch. You know, I mean, it was just dunk, 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 dunk. And they've got to find a way to negate that. But Florida's inside game is really weak because of the guys that they've got missing, 3 6'10" guys on the bench that haven't played all year. They got a lift with Dante Bassett, a freshman who really played well. But, again, he wasn't going up against guys like Hall. You know, so it'll be interesting to watch. I think it wasn't a good matchup in Gainesville, and I don't expect it to be a great matchup here. But if Florida can go out and knock down some shots and get that confidence going and make that transition into defense, I think they'll be okay.
Visiting with Pat Dooley. Before we let you go, you mentioned those quadrant wins. Is this a game that you view as sort of a play-in game for both teams tonight?
Well, I think we're all at a little bit of a disadvantage in that we aren't sure exactly how these quadrant things are going to work and how seriously they're going to take them, or whether they're going to look at losses or whether they're going to look at other things. All we know is what they said, and as we know, it's the NCAA committee, so there's no telling. This game helps Florida way more than it helps Alabama because it's a road game, and Alabama's 44 in RPI. So Florida winning on the road would be a quadrant one win. Alabama winning at home would be a quadrant two win. I know it's complicated, but so definitely it would help Florida more to get a win. It would just be one more. To me, that would be the clincher. You know, they're in. They're probably going to get a decent seed. A loss tonight's not going to be crippling, but it certainly would help Alabama's resume. But it wouldn't be a quadrant one win. It'd be a quadrant two, so it would help it not quite as much. But they just need to win. Alabama's one of those teams that I'm telling people, when you look at everybody wants to say, oh, the SEC's getting 8 teams in. Well, they're not in yet. And Alabama's one of those teams where I look at them and I go, hey, you know, don't falter down the stretch here, or don't give them an excuse for not letting you in. I know they've got some – obviously had some good wins, and, you know, they played well at times, like you said. But, you know, I think right now they're looking at – I think they have 6 quadrant one wins, which isn't bad, but they could use some more. The road – it's funny, their record and Florida's going into the Saturday were almost identical. In both cases, they both had an excellent non-conference win, Rhode Island and Oklahoma for Alabama. But it's like Alabama's got to really be rooting hard for Oklahoma to finish strong because they want them to be a quad one win. Right now they're not because they're 31st, so they're one spot below that. So it's just too much math for me, Cole. I don't know about you.
Pat, I agree. We've consistently made fun of the quadrant wins here on the show. So appreciate the time. Go get that knee straight, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you, man.
Pat Dooley of GatorSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Pat_Dooley. You can hear Alabama-Florida tonight covers beginning at 5 p.m.
Yes, 5 o'clock is when coverage starts at 6 o'clock. A little after 6 will be the tip. Last time these two met, Alabama outscored Florida 41-17 in the second half. Florida's entire bench scored 1 point.
Oh, not great.
They may need more than 1 point in this game. In fact, as we're getting to tweets, did you see Auburn had to self-report violations after that Florida game?
I did see that, yeah.
All right, let's do that in tweets.
A little bit silly. Let's get to 10 after tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Tom Green reports Auburn has to report self-report violations possible after the Florida game because fans threw money at Auburn basketball players.
Oh, jeez.
And Auburn picked it up, by the way.
Most normal people would.
Bruce Pearl reported yesterday that after the video surfaced online that Florida fans had chanted FBI at Auburn and had thrown money at the Tigers who were walking off the court at Exact Tech Arena following their 6-point loss last Saturday. Bruce Pearl said the money, who some people did not know whether it was fake or real, was actually real and was about $5 to $6.
Oh.
And he said, quote, "We did confirm that it was indeed real money and that we turned the money over to compliance."
Well, this feels silly.
If this keeps Auburn out of the tournament, probably not keeping him out of the tournament.
Be a bit of an upset.
It would be a pretty big upset when you're considering, oh, I don't know, they're throwing money at you.
Russillo, @RyanRussillo, tweets yesterday, at the very least, the NCAA needs to change how hoops football prospects can deal with agents. The hockey baseball model is great and incredibly unfair if you wonder why people can't see the racial element of it. This one isn't debatable.
Okay, I don't know if I'm ready to get into the racial element of anything with the NCAA. At least not yet. I would like to mention, though, that today Auburn also goes on the road to take on Arkansas. So we brought them up a few times. Auburn can win the SEC regular season title with a win at Arkansas or, Cole Kubelik, if the Tennessee Volunteers, who are second place right now in the SEC, lose to Mississippi State tonight, which also on the road. Mississippi State is a 20-win team.
Brandon Marcello tweets, former Auburn quarterback Jeremy Johnson signs with Arena Football League.
Yes!
Not that one. No, that Jeremy Johnson, yes. But he agreed to a deal.
Vipers, right?
He agreed to a deal with the Peach State Cats, an indoor professional football team, with the American Arena Football League. You know, Kelly threw that extra A in the front. The mm-hmm. American mm-hmm. Arena mm-hmm. Football League. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with the Canadian Arena Football League. Or European Arena Football League. Yeah. Yeah.
Question. There are still arena teams? I thought they were all going out of business.
12 at L Legendre 12 underscore 63210 W.EW 4 emoji star QB 2019 emoji twinkling stars.
I bet you darn right there's some twinkling stars.
He tweets 22 hours ago, respect my decision, ..
Is this a recruit? Jeez,
with a
Louise.
Notepad, he has two bars on his LTE service. His screen is locked. Only 7% of his battery left at 8:58 a.m. After a long talk with my mom, coach, David Beatty, and my coaches, I would like to commit to the University of Kansas.
Wow!
Emoji red dot, emoji blue dot, exclamation point, and then he draws hashtag 1-2, then adds hashtag rock chalk, emoji man yelling, emoji blue dot, emoji red dot, exclamation point. Here, I bring this one up for a reason. We sort of have fun with these a lot.
Please, because it is a Kansas player.
All of the recruits that go with the respect my decision and then announce their commitment, who's disrespecting their decisions?
Me. Kansas, really? Do you have no other offers?
I'll probably start.
Football? Kansas basketball, I get it. You want to play there. What?
Atlanta Journal-Constitution. At AJC Sports tweets, five-star guard Ashton Hagans withdraws commitment from UGA.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Okay, maybe he could still commit there later, but...
Maybe Mark Fox is doing things the right way.
Oh. Well, this is a basketball center?
Yes. Okay, didn't guard. Know. Basketball guard.
Oh, guard. Okay. Well, yeah. I could have been confused. Could have been a football guard, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Cole, this is a big news tweet. You ready? It's from 3 days ago, but because of yesterday's show, I didn't want to get it lost in yesterday.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I want this to be told today. Egg UAH Chargers tweets HKY colon.
Have known you.
Have known you colon. Or playoff bound.
What's HKY for, short for? Tell us. Like, hockey. I mean, we know what GFY
hockey.
Is.
Hockey.
So basically one and the same.
Playoff bound. Hashtag United with Charge. UAH beats Bowling Green in the opening night of their series last weekend. 3-2, which means UAH is going back to the playoffs in hockey for the first time in like a long time. I think this is like 2012 or something. But congratulations, Coach Corbett and company. Playoffs! Woo!
Good job, guys.
Nice job. Coach Corbett is an avid listener, I'm
yeah,
pretty sure.
Yeah, solid.
Everyone's an avid listener.
Do we know when the playoffs begin?
Tomorrow? No, that's not true. I think this last weekend was the last weekend.
Of the regular season?
I'll see okay. if the brackets are up yet. I don't think so. I think it still has a week of games left.
You're going to love this one. ESPN Stats and Info tweets 7 hours ago. They were asked by @RapsFeed, Raptors' chances of getting to the finals? Hashtag AskStatsInfo. BPI gives Raptors a 63% chance to make the NBA Finals, best chance of any team. Consider the two teams right below them in that chance, Warriors at 55 and Rockets at 37. The Raptors don't have to contend with any other team with a higher chance than 21%, the Celtics. Let me read the first line of that one more time so you can hear it again.
Sure.
BPI gives the Raptors 63% chance to make the NBA Finals, not Eastern Conference Finals. Finals, best chance of any team.
Well, they're playing better than the other two in the East right now. That's for sure.
There are more than three teams in the East.
No, this weekend, the opening championship series for UAH, they take on the number two overall seed, Northern Michigan. Now, that's on the road because UAH is not one of the top seeds nationally. But they are going to be in the playoffs, which is pretty exciting. So, give them hell.
Hey, we were just talking Bama hoops in Florida hoops with Pat Dooley. Bama hoops hype, which... For some reason, this floated into my timeline. Hopefully, people don't think that this is one that I frequent. Tweets, Seth Davis of the @AthleticsCBB talked to coaches from around the country about some of this year's big teams. Here's what an anonymous SEC coach has to say about hashtag Alabama and Colin Sexton. Tell me if you think this sounds a little familiar. The biggest question with them is experience. They're so young, they have stretches where they're not shooting well or they miss defensive assignments. They've got unbelievable length and great rim protection with Donta Hall. Sexton is great off ball screens. You just have to pray he's missing. He does a great job getting fouled. You don't want to bail him out. You want to make him finish at the rim and stay in the mid-range area. I think they're better sometimes when they don't play Sexton as much because the other guys distribute it more. He takes them out of what they do sometimes. Now, this is one of those... questions and debates that no one's going to like because of how talented he is, but you and I have talked about, are they a better basketball team when he's not in the lineup?
I know this is a weird stat, sure, but they're 3-0 without Colin Sexton. and 14-12 with them. I know Colin Sexton's a really good player, but I don't know why they get stuck so much on offense with he's on the court. Do people worry that? Do I worry? Do you worry that he's playing hero ball? I don't know. They got.
I mean, I don't really worry myself.
They got.
With it,
but... Well, you do a little bit. I've seen. I've seen your Snapchat. You have that that one where you're biting your nails. You're worried. Your Bitmoji. Hey, by the way, I'll give you a Buffalo nickel if you can tell me what the Northern Michigan mascot is. Northern Michigan University. I'll give you a hint. It's not crazy.
Bears.
No, I'll give you one more since you're. Kind of in the area.
Ferrets.
They are. How'd you go from bears to ferrets when you thought you were an era?
What else would be close to bears? Like another mammal? What? Like, how was I close there?
You could have gone from bear to almost anything else and still been closer than
like horse.
What other thing would have been a? What other team is a ferret?
Beaver.
Wildcats.
Hedgehog.
Wildcats. Close. Hedgehog.
All right, you got to stop the music for me to read these tweets because they're just too good. You know who Tim Brewster is, right?
I do. My guy.
He likes to crank up the heat on Twitter. Used to be big-time anti-SEC guy. Now he's big SEC guy.
Yeah.
Moved from Florida State to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He tweets yesterday, emoji flame, DB alert, emoji flame, nothing but real hashtag facts, which we love here on the show because it's facts and opinions only allowed.
That's this program.
The emoji double explanation points. Come get some truth.
I'm ready to go get it.
Now, he adds to that a graphic photograph with Fisher's defensive backs. 189 total NFL starts, $8,426,868 average player earnings. Marquez White, P.J. Williams, Kevin Johnson, Xavier Rhodes, Jalen Ramsey, Ronald Darby, LaMarcus Joyner, Terrence Brooks.
Okay.
Now, I hear those names, and I kind of think about the old first round happened when egg met the seed sort of deal that LaCharles Bentley told us here a long time ago, which I think is really true. Jalen Ramsey quotes said tweet with, he didn't teach me not one DB technique. Hashtag, come get some real truth. Hashtag, go Noles.
What?
Jalen Ramsey then responds to the tweet after quoting it.
Sure.
And says, no, I have nothing but respect for you, Coach Brew, but don't use me on a poster for a school I didn't go to and for a coach who didn't teach me how to be a DB.
I like this. I like this a lot. I like the real truth. I also like him really coming to bat for his university.
This is as hot as Twitter gets, and Jalen Ramsey absolutely just torched Tim Brewster and Jimbo Fisher, by the way, who didn't necessarily squeeze himself into this whole thing. But I agree with you. I think this is phenomenal. It's straight truth. It's not Jimbo's out there teaching kids how to backpedal.
Listen, I'm telling you, the head coach, the coach Alabama has on staff now that was a special teams coordinator at Texas A&M wasn't teaching kicking. He was there and he recruited Christian Kirk. All right? That's what he did.
But this would essentially, this would be like
this.
I mean, this would be like Nick Saban bragging about A.J. McCarron and other NFL quarterbacks he's had on his roster, which I think A.J.'s the only one.
That it is still in the NFL, you mean?
Yeah.
Is John Parker done?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think Greg's got any snaps left. But
okay.
Is Coker on a practice squad somewhere? No. But when A.J. gets paid this offseason, which he's going to, this would be like a graphic that somebody in the Alabama department's like, quarterback money coached.
Huh. Who's this guy? Major Applewhite? Who was this guy?
So, actually, it's Jim McElwain. So, yeah.
That's the poster I would put up at Michigan.
Which would be actually a really nice job by them. But I love Jalen Ramsey for this. And I'm not mad at him one bit because I think he's 100% spot on.
You know what I appreciate?
And like you said, he's taking up for Florida State.
That's the thing I appreciate the most, which is we always talk about these guys are only loyal to the money and they're just trying to get to the league, blah, blah, blah. It's nice to see a guy who was a three-and-done guy who goes and just basically defends his university. He says, I didn't play for you at my school. Don't put it. That's a different. I didn't play for that school. I played Florida State.
It's so good. It's so good. All right. It was a huge night in the NBA last night. Some record-setting performances. And one reason that really showed up last night that Golden State should still be your favorite to win the NBA title. We discuss it right after this. Hey, welcome back into the Madison RV studio. Cole Kulick, Arky Shea with you until 10 a.m. this morning. Still coming up on the show today. We've got Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com in 7 minutes. We'll talk to Mike about Butch Jones maybe being in Alabama, yet still being on the scoreboard in Knoxville. Trey Smith.
We got to figure that out.
Trey Smith missing spring practice, amongst other things, maybe some Tennessee hoops as well. We'll talk to Matt Zenitz at 8:40. He's reporting that Butch Jones is interviewing for a position off the field with Alabama. Fred Siegel, Old Takes Exposed at 9. He's with us every Tuesday. Amy Dash, CBS legal analyst, sports legal analyst, will join us at 9:20 to talk Roger Goodell, NCAA, FBI, and more. So some heavy lifting still left to do on the show. If there is heavy lifting that you need to take care of, the best place for you to head over to is Valley Equipment Rental. It's easy. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. That's valleyequipmentrents.com today, and you can check out some of the bulldozers, some of the skid steers, and other items that can help you with your heavy lifting this off season. Scissor lifts, toe behind lifts, booms, knuckle booms. But the earth moving equipment is what they specialize in. And with landscaping season right around the corner, weather now warming up, excavators, backhoes, tractors, skid steers, bulldozers, all available at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com today, valleyequipmentrents.com, or check out their location right there on South Memorial Parkway near Airport Road, 256-964-6081, 256-964-6081, and you can go see Ross and Tanner and the guys at Valley Equipment Rental in person. And let them hook you up. The long-term rental fees are the most aggressive in North Alabama, and the weekend specials run year-round. Valley Equipment Rental, 256-964-6081. So a historic night last night in the NBA, Arky Shea. With no Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis has been blowing it out of the water for the Pelicans. 53 points last night, 18 boards, 5 blocks, as the Pelicans won their 6th straight game over the Suns. Anthony Davis joins Bob McAdoo as the only player with at least 50 points, 15 boards, and 5 blocks in the game since blocks became an official stat in 73 and 74. That feels very late for blocks to become an official stat, by the way.
It is very late. It is very late. Just like it's very late that sacks didn't become a thing until, like, 2006, it feels like. Like, just the fact that Terrell Suggs had the sack record as opposed to, I don't know, a Derek Thomas, maybe?
McAdoo went for 52, 22, and 7 February 22nd, 1974. So
where were you then?
Not even being thought about.
Wow.
Davis did it Monday despite not making a three-pointer. He was 0 for 1 from behind the three-point line. There have been 73 50-point games the last 10 seasons. Only two came by a player who did not make a three-pointer in that game. It wasn't just Davis, though. On the other side of things, Devin Booker goes for 40, 10, and 7. He didn't lead any three of those categories. Now, obviously, because Anthony Davis on the other side goes for 53 and 15. But Devin Booker has he had 27 in the first half last night. He has been a real pleasant surprise for Phoenix. I mean, we saw him blow up for a couple games last year, but seems to be somebody that the Suns could potentially build around. And this is something that maybe we can talk about with Matt D'Agostino on Friday or when Joel Cordes is back on Monday. Does Phoenix try to build around Devin Booker, or do you see him someone being maybe shipped off to one of these potential super team combinations somewhere that wants to try and add a guard who can score from almost anywhere on the floor?
I have no idea what Phoenix wants to do. I have just no earthly idea.
Kind of same spot New Orleans is in, really, especially now with Boogie injured.
I think they're continuing to tank because I saw them. There was a funny video that happened over the weekend where there was a pass into the post where their big guy just had a wide open layup or dunk attempt and decided just to toss it out for three, and it was a missed shot. Then didn't want the two, was guessing on the three, didn't make the three. They were down 29-5 at the time, so clearly they're not in it to win it. So no, Devin Booker, by the way, 40 points I think is more than he scored in his entire career at Kentucky total. I mean, he was a fine player at Kentucky, but I think he averaged like 10 points a game when he was there. Not the best, not elite,
I tell you. And since Boogie went down on January 26th, Davis is averaging 34 points per game. That's the most in the NBA in that span. In February, five 40-point, 10-rebound games for Anthony Davis. Is he entering back into that discussion as the best player in the NBA? Because you remember after his rookie year and his sophomore year, we were kind of like, this dude might be the best player in the NBA. He's knocking down threes. He's blocking shots, rebounds. He just happens to be doing it for a pitiful team. Now, he's not doing it for a great team, but how valuable a commodity is he going to be moving forward? And can New Orleans ever win with him? Whatever they do around him, can they ever be a contender?
No, but they can get some fun pieces around him if they trade him.
They had one.
He is a hot commodity. Well, we both questioned when that trade happened if New Orleans was just going to try this whole, we put two big guys on the floor at the same time.
We'll just out-big you.
We're just going to counterculture this whole everybody has to shoot threes. Everybody dunks. That's basically what we're trying to counter. It's not worked so far for those two, especially since I think DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent after the season. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, Anthony Davis is one of the best. He's one of the top five players in the league already. He's there. I mean, he's the big guy in the NBA.
I did before we go to break and welcome in Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com, since we're talking some NBA, we'll be a little bit behind here, but I just wanted to mention Golden State from last night.
Why? And we never talk about Golden State until they beat the Knicks by 24. Why would do this?
And I understand that part of it, but if you were sort of jumping on that Rockets bandwagon as to what kind of a challenge they're going to be and how difficult this run through the West might be for Golden State, you mentioned the blowout win, but how about six players in double digits for Golden State last night?
It's the Knicks, man. They didn't even have Kristaps Porzingis, man. The unicorn's gone, man. Outscored the Knicks 39-18 in the third quarter, man. It's not good, man, up there in New York. I'm
15 threes last night for Golden State. They outscored the Knicks by 20 in the third quarter. It's the fifth time they've done that this season. Only four other NBA teams have done it all year. It's happened only four other times.
Hey, can I just say the one thing I am happy about? Steph Curry didn't score 50. Because as soon as news started, people started ramping up for that game yesterday, early morning, people were like, hey, listen, can Steph go into Madison Square Garden and do what only Kobe and LeBron have been able to do recently? I think it's LeBron and I think Michael is one of two other players that actually only have 50 points in Madison Square Garden twice. Glad he didn't score 50.
All right, we'll get to a break. We ask Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com next. Will Trey Smith be available for the Tennessee opener against West Virginia next?
What's my lyric from this?
Yeah.
What's my lyric from this that I really like?
Ooh, baby, I like it raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw.
Back in the Madison RV studios, go to MadisonRV.com. As we do each and every Tuesday, we welcome in Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Doing well, Cole. How are you?
Doing well. Boy, a couple things to get to you with. Odd to have so many headlines from you when at this point in the calendar year, I guess. But I want to start with Trey Smith because I think it's a huge story. And you know what I think about Trey. You know how impressed I was with him. Tennessee announcing that he'll be out with a medical ailment from spring football. Hope to have him back by the beginning of the season. What's the latest you can give us on his status, his situation, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, well, he's got a medical condition, Cole. I mean, this isn't an arthroscopic knee surgery or, you know, anything like that. This is a medical condition. You know, the family's asked for privacy, so we're all in the media trying to be as sensitive as we can. But at the same time, you've got to recognize that this is the only Tennessee player that was recognized as All-SEC last year. He was the only one. He was a second-team pick by the coaches in the AP. Tennessee didn't have anybody else make first or second-team All-SEC. So he's kind of the star of the team. He was a freshman All-American and arguably the best freshman in the country, Cole. You and I talked about him on your show all season long. I think I said he was the best freshman lineman that I've seen probably since Willie Anderson at Auburn in 1993. So while we do want to respect Trey's privacy, he's also a very public figure and a very famous athlete. So that's why, you know, we try to walk this as delicately as we can, understanding that the family wants privacy, but at the same time, you know, sensitive to the fact that this is a player of very high interest and high importance to the Tennessee football program, who won't be available this spring and has a condition that, you know, according to the source, and Tennessee hasn't announced it officially, Cole, but the source has said he's out indefinitely. So this is a very serious medical condition that Trey Smith is dealing with that does cast doubt on his future, his immediate future at Tennessee.
You say cast doubt on his future. Does that mean that you feel like there should be some realistic doubt on his future in general, not just his immediate future?
Yeah, I do. You know, anytime. You know, not to scare people too much, but look, anytime you've got a medical condition and it's early diagnosis and you're undergoing treatment, you know, we like to believe that there's miracle drugs out there. There's a lot of people listening right now that know, you know, that sometimes, you know, things take a turn. You hope for the better. I mean, this is a young, healthy, strong young man. The body is an amazing thing in how we heal ourselves and make. But there's also instances where, you know, people get medical conditions, Cole, and they have to learn to live with them, but that means limitations. And, you know, as you and I know, football is a very violent, stressful game on our bodies. And it's challenging to play it when you're healthy, much less if you have a limitation or are at risk with conditions. So, you know, without getting into too much detail, yeah, I think there's a question mark over Trey Smith's future.
Man, it just bums me out to hear it, Mike, because he's a young man that I have so much respect for, and just I love watching the way he plays the game, and what he did last year was beyond impressive, playing multiple positions.
I'm just saying there's doubt.
No, I know. I realize that. I realize that, and I'm just to clarify, I'm not saying that I think he won't play football again or won't play this year. I know he's not going to go through spring, and like you said, that does cast doubt, and that's a fair statement. So I hope to see him playing football this fall. I hope to see him against West Virginia, and he's one of my favorite kids to watch in college football right now. I think he's not even up for debate, the best offensive lineman returning in the SEC in 2018 if he is back. So let's kind of switch gears, and there is a bit of an Alabama tie into why we wanted to have you on today, and you sort of wrote about this as well at seccountry.com. Butch Jones in Tuscaloosa meeting with Nick Saban and his staff for a potential off-the-field position. Yet Butch Jones still has a strong presence in Knoxville. When is that coming down, Mike? And maybe educate my listeners if they don't already know what's going on.
Look, and this is embarrassing for Tennessee, Cole. There's just no two ways about it. It's when you're Tennessee, and look, there's Tennessee fans in your market right now listening, and they know where this is going. And they're not going to like it because it's embarrassing. And their Alabama and Auburn buddies are going to make fun of them. But when you're in Tennessee and you talk all this smack about you got the greatest facilities and football is number one and how much it matters, and you got your ex-coach on your stadium 100 days after he's fired, that's embarrassing, Cole. That's actions not matching words. And it's one of two things here. Either one, this is somehow slipped between the cracks for 3 months. Two, you don't have the money or resources to be able to hire a crane and get it down. Or three, you don't care enough. None of those three things are good. There is no good explanation for why Butch Jones is still on Tennessee Stadium with Reggie White and Robert Nealon. And that's not a slam to Butch. Look, I'll guarantee you he wants to get the hell off there too. He doesn't want to be a target. He doesn't want people driving by writing songs about how he needs to come on. You might get Archie to play that song. It's just a short song. It might be worth people hearing at some point during your show. But a guy wrote a song about Butch Jones still being on the Jumbotron 100 days later and basically said, and I don't know if this is a direct quote, but it rhymes, but Tennessee fans can't move on while Butch Jones is on the Jumbotron. And you know what? There's some truth to that. And it's, to me, it's just mind-boggling. You want to say, oh, yeah, Tennessee's finally got it right. You know, Philip Fulmer's in charge now. Really? Because Butch Jones is on the Jumbotron. That is embarrassing to the entire University of Tennessee and certainly the football fans. And some say, oh, it doesn't matter to me. Really? Does it matter to the recruits that are there visiting every weekend? How much would you charge for that spot on the Jumbotron? $1,000 a day? It's been over 100 days. You've lost $100,000 in revenue. Does it still not matter to you? Because your ticket prices are going up. And you're wondering why you're not recruiting as well as you can. You're not maximizing that space. That could be Eric Berry. That could be Derek Barnett. My goodness, it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com with us. Let's stay with Butch Jones. And hypothetically, if he were to be added to Nick Saban's staff in an off-field capacity, what do you believe Butch could add for the Alabama football team?
Well, I mean, let's put it like this. He scored more touchdowns and more points with Josh Dobbs in 2016 than David Cutcliffe did with Peyton Manning in 1997. That was a record-setting Tennessee offense in 2016. I know a lot of people didn't give him credit. Everybody thought Jalen Hurts was the player of the year. I don't even know if he's a quarterback anymore. Should have been Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs led the SEC in passing that year. Tennessee set single-season records for points and touchdowns. Look, the guy's got some good ideas for football. You don't coach 11 years at the Division I level as a head coach and win as many or more games from one year to the next at every school the first 10 years without being a pretty good football coach. And Butch has got some concepts. I mean, he's got some Rich Rodriguez concepts from when he was at West Virginia. He did some things at Central Michigan. He darn near beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa in 2015. Darn near beat a playoff team in Oklahoma. So Tennessee was close with Butch. He couldn't get over the hump. There were issues. There were problems. He had all sorts of issues. He put the quarterback in a shotgun at the one-yard line. Some people never get over that, right? They do it in the NFL, but it's harder to do it at the college level. My point is he offers Saban another set of eyes, a guy he basically can open up the vault to Tennessee's scouting report the last 5 years. All the information that Tennessee gained, I mean, they did finish – back-to-back in the top 25 2 years. They weren't a horrible program. Last year was awful, but I think he would be a valuable resource. And don't forget, they share the same agent, Jimmy Sexton. And, you know, that could grease the skids. I mean, if you know, Butch wants to sit home, play Legos with his kids, or does he want to coach football and make a couple hundred grand and get a look inside the Alabama football program? I mean, heck, if Saban will hire Lane Kiffin, I mean, that guy was a disaster here. You know, Mike Locksley, look deeper into his history. You know, Butch Jones has actually done a pretty admirable job over his 11 years.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up again next week.
Appreciate it, Cole.
Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com. I'd like to get paid to stay at home and play Legos with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just real talk.
I do agree. It is pretty embarrassing that that thing is still up.
Yeah.
And we'll play that song, by the way, at 8:20.
No,
we'll...
they don't even know what they're getting into.
You could literally put anything else up there.
Oh, I meant the song.
Or nothing else.
We've heard from this guy. You'll hear from him again later in the show. Matt Zenitz and that Tennessee song next hour.